That's not right.
Yes.
Call the meeting to order. Leslie, would you take the roll, please?
Fike.
Here.
Nimitz.
Here.
Hensel.
Here.
Walters.
Present.
Tubbs.
Here.
Let the record show that Leonard and Grola are absent and excused.
Okay, thank you. Is there any conflict of interest with respect to tonight's agenda that anyone needs to report? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Also move to approve the agenda of Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018.
Been moved by Commissioner Nimitz with support by Commissioner Walters to approve the agenda for our meeting of Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda is approved. We next need to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of March 6, 2018. Are there any corrections or revisions that we need to make to the minutes? Yes, John?
I just have on the two site plan meetings to show that I was at attendance at both of those.
Did I miss that? I'm sorry. I apologize. Gosh.
Got it.
Okay. Any other revisions or corrections? Okay. I'd entertain a motion. Take them one by one. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of March 6, 2018.
I'll make that motion to approve the minutes.
Mr. Support?
I'll support.
Been moved by Commissioner Syke with support by Commissioner Henschel to approve the minutes of our regular meeting on March 6, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes are approved. And then we need to approve the site review minutes of 3-6 of 2018. I'd entertain a motion with that with the revisions that have been mentioned.
I'll make the motion to approve the site review meeting minutes.
He wasn't there.
I support. Wrote them, so then I must not have been there either.
Been moved by Commissioner Syke with support by Commissioner Henschel to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of March 6, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Those minutes are approved. Is there anyone that would like to make any public comment this evening with respect to anything that is not on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we'll go to reports. Township Board report. Mindy.
The last meeting, the biggest issue on our agenda was the special assessment districts for Canterbury Woods and English Woods. We had quite a public hearing that night, but we did pass the special assessment districts for both of those, and we believe that those will be completed this summer, early summer. So, should have some nice
better roads.
Roads up there.
Okay. Any questions for Mindy? Okay. Thank you. Appeals Board report, Ted?
We had two appeals. One was a setback in the lakes area, normally. And the other was a resumption of signage for the little, used to be a Shell station on Parsons Road. It's now an auto shop, no gas, but and they were both approved.
Okay. Any questions for Ted? Okay. Thank you. Plans report, Rick?
Yeah, several things. First of all, at the last board meeting, staff proposed a new fee schedule, updating some of the costs to match with other communities in the area, and also to address some additional costs, and also to address some things that were left off the fee schedule in the past where we might have had to figure out a way to address an issue that wasn't covered in the fee schedule. So we wanted to make sure everything was covered. And that was approved by the board. They only made one change in the things that we had proposed. So that's been adopted. So you'll all be billed for your seating now each meeting. Secondly, I spoke about the Beach District at the recent TTCI regional transportation meeting. They had presentations from MDOT, the Road Commission, BETA, the city, and then Elmwood Township and us. And we talked about ways to deal with the traffic on US 31 and how the Beach District were trying to develop ways of creating friction for the traffic to slow it down some. Also, some of the other things we're employing in terms of promoting the district. And then other things that have been that we have already established in the township as ways to try to deal with the traffic along there. That went very well. Back on the 21st, we had our Beach District meeting, first one of the year. John was there, and we had three members of the business community. A couple of them couldn't make it, but three were there. Dan Leonard phoned in from the road, and then we had two representatives, I'm sorry, of Beta that were there as well. And they were primarily there to talk about the new Bayline high-frequency bus service that's being provided, starting effective on June 4th. And that was quite an interesting conversation. I also attended the most recent steering committee meeting on March 16th. And, that was the last of the steering committee meetings, and they're marching forward. And hopefully there'll be enough corporate and or organizational sponsorships made to make it a free service, at least in the first year, potentially, if not that, something less than the normal cost. They won't know the hard numbers until late April, early May, but at least in terms of soft numbers, about half of the amount that they needed to collect to make it free service had already been promised in some as of a couple weeks ago. We're working on some drafts of some additional zoning amendments aside from the ones you have this evening, including the private parks issue, because right now our ordinance only talks about public parks. It doesn't talk about privately owned parks. Wood burning, outdoor wood burning stoves, and also incorporating a few other things into the ordinance that are referred to in some of these staff reports today related to lighting and things like that. So those will be coming to you in the next few meetings, depending on the number of cases we have before you as well. And once they get it squared away and working correctly, please try to always use your East Bay Township email. Apparently, the lack of usage up to this point has caused them to all shut down. So,
I was not the only one that had a problem? Is that
you reason? Were not the only one that had a problem. So, in terms of a couple other things, in terms of land use permits through the year, we're almost exactly on track with last year. The number is almost exactly the same. Difference is a little bit in what they're about, but all the 29 permits so far through March, and that was the same number last year. We also had three complaints in March, and all of them dealt with junk. You have several things on your desk this evening. You have a communication from me. You have a communication from the Watershed Center regarding both proposals tonight. Mine is regarding why we did not require traffic studies. And then we have a recommended additional condition from the township attorney related to the Stellar Hotel project tonight that is based on some conversations we had with the attorney. And then I think there was something from soil erosion on the counter.
Watershed.
You must put it there.
Watershed.
No, there's watershed, but there's also...
Oh, soil erosion.
Yeah,
the
erosion.
Okay. You're right.
Oh, okay. So I don't think there's anything else beyond that.
Okay. Any questions?
I have a quick question. Yep. Maybe for me. On the recommendation to deny the rezoning request, is that on the township's?
Not until the May meeting.
Maybe.
The applicants are out of town
next
week and could not attend, so it'll be on, I think it's May 14th.
So he's still going forward with it. Okay. Just curious.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Moving on. No old business. New business. The first item up is a special land use 1-18, site plan review 2-18. Regarding the Stellar Hospitality property, this is a time set for public hearing and action. It's my understanding that the applicant seeks site plan and special land use approval for 2 6-story hotels and a retail building on the site formerly occupied by Pebble Brook Miniature Golf Course, two private residences and some vacant property This would be used by right, except for the proposed drive-through at the retail building would require special land use approval. The applicable sections of the zoning ordinance for site plan review standards are set forth in Section 820, and the special land use review standards are set forth in Section 602 and 614. And is there someone here for the applicant that would like to address us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Andy Andre from Stellar Development, and I'm here representing the ownership group Stellar Hospitality Traverse City LLC, which is the applicant for the project. You summed it up very well. We are seeking both a special land use and planning review for the development. We are in the zoned RB, which is a permitted use of what we're talking about, but the special land use with the drive-through, with the retail component of it. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the project and the proposal and what we're doing, kind of walk you through some of what we're doing there. Two hotels, both would be extended stay. One is a Marriott brand, and one of them is a IHG, which is the parent company for Holiday Inn. They both would have kitchenettes and that type of use. We look for people typically 3 to 5 day stays, upwards of, you know, maybe even a couple weeks, depending on business traveling or that situation. So both of those hotels would be that. And the retail would be a single story, 8,692 square feet, split into 5 spaces as of right now. In the submission that we made, we put a version of an existing retail center that is part of, that is one that we have. And if you look closely, you can see a hotel in the background that's under construction as well. So we tend to see that the uses play very well off each other between the hotel, the retail, and it really, you see the cross business between the two. The with the existing property right now, there are wetlands and there is a stream that's located on it. The stream is both the stream and the wetlands are under the jurisdiction of the DEQ. And we have made a permit submission to the DEQ for wetland mitigation and stream relocation. The existing stream right now, and I know you guys made a site visit today. I happen to see you out there. It's not very well defined. It's kind of overgrown. It's really in tough shape. And what we're proposing is to actually take the length of that stream, which is 550 feet, and elongate it using natural design methodology that's approved by the state to 927 square feet. What we see is that as an opportunity to really enhance the property, take a natural feature, and we've incorporated it as part of our plan, and we feel very strongly that'll enhance the guests, you know, their stay there, and it gives a nice buffering between properties as well. Within that stream relocation, we'll also do wetland mitigation. We took a lot of consideration into doing the layout when we worked with the property. We've incorporated quite a bit of retaining walls in order to minimize the impact to the wetlands, which, you know, in most cases, people would look to fill those wetlands in. We really made an effort to minimize the impact. So we're under a third of an acre as far as the impact is concerned. So when you look at a development of that size, when the wetlands are associated with the stream, we really did make an effort to minimize those impacts. And so we'll be doing mitigation as well as part of that stream relocation. And I'm sure, I had heard about the traffic. I mean, that was one of the things that was brought up, and I'm sure that's on the forefront of some of the minds about this. We are taking, if you look at the existing property right now, the frontage along 31, there's 5 driveways. 5 driveways that were constructed recently as part of MDOT's work along there. We work pretty diligently with Jeremy Weiss at the MDOT TSC here in order to minimize those. We're down to proposing 2 driveways along 31. And we did those locations both strategically as well. We did an alignment with driveway on the north side of 31, so it provided, we reduced the left turn conflicts, and we gave spacing adequate enough between our drives, so that would provide ease of access in and out of the property. So we really did take that into consideration when we put this plan together. Along 4 Mile Road, we're also proposing a drive. We did work with the Road Commission as well. They have seen the plans. They asked for some additional right-of-way there. We did grant it to them, so they're happy with what's been done there. I saw the members of the Planning Commission out there because I was right next door at Hopscotch meeting with the owner, Matt, and Cassie, the general manager, because they have they wanted to look at what we're doing, see how we can integrate some of what our proposed improvements are with his parking situation that he had out there and that. And so I think we're gonna be working with him over the coming time here to really be able to integrate what he wants to do. I know he's got some additional parking that he wants to incorporate as part of that, and so we're going to be doing that. One thing I do want to hit on is MDOT, when we engaged them pretty early, they didn't request a traffic impact study be done along there. And part of the reason is we provided them, and it's part of the submittal package as well, some trip generation of what our proposed development would be when it comes to the hotel and the retail. And they felt that because we're taking 5 drives down to 2, we're channelizing our traffic, we'll be able to use the 4-mile exit, the signalized intersection there, that it really wouldn't warrant it. And so with the information that we provided, the updates on the plans that we've done, I think they felt very confident about that. And there's one item I'll also touch on when it comes to, it may have been brought up, but over the southern portion of the property, you can see it on the survey and it continues on throughout the plans, is there's a 25-foot easement that has been granted along that southern portion of the property coming from 4 Mile to the, I'll call it the 1.8 acres of property that's pretty heavily wooded along that area. Our intent is to maintain the location of that easement. It's shown throughout the plans. And if you look at the language, and I have that information, there's no language within the easement that restricts the grantee's use of that 25 feet and any modification that can be made within that 25 feet. And so even though we're going to be doing some improvements within that area, there's nothing within that easement that restricts us from doing that. We still will maintain the 25-foot ingress-egress easement, and we'll continue to incorporate that as part of our plans until something changes in the future. Lighting on the property, we met the township requirements. We made a submission recently to staff regarding that. We're using all LED lighting. We did modify all of our lighting with the fixtures to 3,000 Kelvin, so that took it down from what we had initially proposed that we tend to use within our developments, and we brought that down to at the request of the staff. When it comes to the pedestrian circulation, we understand that one of the things, especially with an extended stay properties, we have guests that will come and they want to also be able to utilize resources locally within the community. And so we've provided internal circulation of pedestrian traffic throughout the development, hotel to retail, as well as providing 3 dedicated walkways from each one of the uses out to the pathway along 31. And then also it was one of the things that was brought up early, and staff identified this early, was connection to TART. Initially, we did not have that, but we felt that, having an opportunity looking at it, and it was early on in our plan, so we did incorporate that as well. So we have a connection to TART there. And again, it's an amenity. We see that as an amenity to our guests. We do have bicycle racks that will be at each of the hotel locations. And in many cases, we have several hotels that we actually have bikes at that can be used by the guests. They can check them out and go on and use those. And I would anticipate we would have that as well here. So we looked at that both from trying to enhance what we can do as part of the development, as well as to integrate it within what the plans are with the community. We spent a lot of time working with the different agencies when it comes to the utilities, the water, the sewer, and the storm. We're going to propose to connect to water that's along 31. It's right in front of us. So we met with the Public Works worked out all of our connections. He felt very good about it. John at DPW felt really good about what we're doing. We have that incorporated as part of our plan, and we also did share that with Wade Trim as well when we met preliminarily with the township as well. Sanitary sewer is going to be the same way. Those will be leads from each one of the buildings that will head to an existing line to existing main that runs along our side of 31, so pretty easily connected there. When it comes to the storm, there is a number of different features that when you look at a development of the size, about 8.7 acres, I think is what it is, we obviously have as a baseline the township stormwater ordinance. And according to the ordinance, we already went ahead and designed all these features into the project itself. But again, we look at what the township ordinance is as the baseline. We understand Watershed Council has items that they are looking for as well. And so right from the beginning, if you look at what the existing conditions are, it's untreated runoff, unrestricted runoff that easily makes its way right into the bay. We are proposing kind of a treatment train type of stormwater management system where we're going to be incorporating both structural and non-structural BMPs, best management practices. We're exceeding the ordinance. We're vastly exceeding the minimum standard. And we felt that was appropriate for this property. I think it will serve as further, as case study almost, for some potential future developments of this magnitude within the township. And so right from the beginning, we are incorporating some of the practices that we talked about, the structural ones. All the catch basins have sumps, pulls out the large particles that are within it. We head to, before we go to, and we are proposing underground detention, but before any of the storm the surface water flows to that, we're going to go to a mechanical pretreatment. It's a unit that will relies on vortexing. So when the water comes in, runs into it from the pipes, it circles it around, and it removes sediment, and it removes any floatables, any type of debris, anything like that. Also removes oils, hydrocarbons, gas, maybe had dripping in the parking lot. So before we head into the underground detention at any of our locations, we've incorporated those units in each and every one of those locations. Again, if you look at the ordinance says you have to remove 60% of the solids. The units that we're proposing do a minimum of 80%. In a lot of cases, if you look at the case studies, they're well above that. So we're proposing something that exceeds the township standards as well. As part of the underground detention, it'll be a pipe system is what we're proposing. Right now, it's fully enclosed, meaning we're not proposing any infiltration. When we initially came in and met with staff and also with Wade Trim, we had proposed a perforated underground detention system, one that would infiltrate back into the ground and get incorporated into the groundwater and ultimately as part of the whole watershed. Unfortunately, at this time, we don't have any information on the existing soils. Because we're working through the permitting through the DEQ, because some of the areas that we need to do the testing in are in those sensitive areas, we're going to stay out of it until those permits are received. We would, though, like to investigate, and I think Wade Trim was agreeable to that, to going back and looking at an infiltration system once we have the data in front of us. So right now, we're looking at, it's kind of a bathtub, all right? So right now, it's going to be holding it in, and then it will be discharging it out to the relocated stream at a slower rate, at a restricted rate. That's good. Infiltrating is better. And that's one of the things that when you look at the Watershed Council, that's one of the recommendations that they made. And truth be told, that's something that we've incorporated and designed in many of our projects that we have going on that have been constructed or are ongoing throughout the state. So until we have that information, We've designed a system that meets the ordinance, that is very functional, that meets all the requirements, but can be better. And then once we have that information and it's supportive, that the soils are capable, that we have the isolation distance to the groundwater, all those different things, then we can work with Wade Trim at doing that. And then ultimately, before it discharges out to the relocated drain, we have an outlet control structure. Basically, this is our spot where we restrict all the flow coming out of that. So it's not a free flow through the pipes into the detention and then out to the stream. We provided a restrictor within that structure that will back the flow up into the detention system. And that, like I mentioned, it's not there now. That's, you know, but this is part of a new development. We are providing that, and we're meeting the standard on that. And then some of the non-structural BMPs, best management, we're going to be incorporating. You'll see this. I actually met today with Heather Smith from the Watershed Council, reviewed some of the items that we want to incorporate that you may not have in front of your plan in you right now, but we can easily incorporate and work through staff and Wade Trim on this. But to include bioswales, that was one of the items they had in there. We'd have some check dams. We've changed some of our vegetation, salt tolerance of those trees especially that are going to be closer to the drives, the one coming off of 4 Mile Road, making sure that those are salt tolerant to the highest extent level, because we know what happens. I mean, it, especially with some splashing and pushing of the snow. And then ultimately, when we have this, the relocated stream, the plantings, the schedule, you have a section, I believe, within your packet, as well as the plantings that we're proposing in there between the shrubs, the trees, the grasses, the wildflowers. That ultimately also acts as a treatment system in pulling out any final nutrients or anything like that that may have made its way through the system. So our combination, the storm, we put a lot of effort and a lot in working with and working with a lot of different groups on this to put together that treatment train of not just a direct discharge, but having all these measures in place that improve the stormwater quality as well as providing for the stormwater quantity, the volume, and the detention that's needed when it comes to this. The buildings itself, as mentioned, six-story, the Staybridge Suites, majority of it stone, glass, and then some ephes as well. The residence inn, six-story, majority of the building stone, and then fiber cement, very durable material. And then the retail, single-story, stone, brick, and ephes is an accent. So we believe that the materials themselves and the building designs will really, really work well within this area of the township. They'll be obviously visible, and we want the building to be durable. The ownership group that is part of this, the applicant on this, owns and operates nearly 80 hotels in Michigan. So it's typical to own and operate these things for a very long time. It's family business with several partners involved that have family in it. And so these are long-term projects, long-term investments as well. So having something that is classic in design, looks good, and can be maintained is very critical. We take that from our initial design and we incorporate it within it, and feel that we've tried to hit on all those points here. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that come up during the process.
Okay. Appreciate it, Mr. Andre. Does anyone at this point have any questions for Mr. Andre?
Did you get the memo from the, oops, that's not the watershed?
I did.
You
did. The April 2nd.
The one thing you didn't hit on was the snow.
Right. Okay. That's a very good point. So the one of the locations that we identified as part of the snow, we can change that. That's an operational feature that can be done. I know it's a requirement as part of the plan. It probably wasn't the best location that was on there. So I actually talked to Heather and I said that was a good pickup. I heard
she talked about reducing the number of parking spots.
Well, we will already be asking for a variance, and I'm glad you brought that up, because operationally we have more parking than we actually need at this point. But the township ordinance is written in such a way when it comes to hotels that it's one per room plus one per employee, and it doesn't give an employee at the largest shift, or so you have to account for all employees at one time. Well, we run three shifts, so we never will have all the employees at one time. So we've already asked for a reduction in parking, so we will be asking for the variance in that parking.
I've seen that.
Just for clarification's sake, the Planning Commission knows this, but one of the amendments before the Planning Commission tonight is a zoning amendment that would change that language, not using all employees as the barometer, but those on the largest shift.
Right.
If that ends up being approved by the Planning Commission and then subsequently down the road by the Township Board, then they wouldn't necessarily have to get that variance.
Okay, but your object is to have less spaces.
Our objective is to have the minimal amount of impact that we can, because, number one, it's costly. Paving, curbing, it's a costly thing. Maintenance on it, costly. Again, we understand from an operational perspective how many parking we need, and because even if we're at full occupancy and we have every employee that's there, we'll still have enough parking. And so any of the reduction in the parking that we can do, we're in favor of.
Okay.
And that'll take care of the snow.
I believe that takes care of the snow issue, yes.
Any other questions, Ted?
Just about the relocating of the creek there.
Mm-hmm.
In her letter, she was talking about I don't know if your drawing is exact, but you're not showing the full setback from the creek.
Right. So if you look at the section that was provided, that's kind of the generalized section of what the improvement would look like. Now, as part of the design standard and working closely with Robin Schmidt at the Cadillac District, the designer that we have, we have an environmental consultant. It's King and McGregor. They did the creek relocation for Munson as well, and so. Just I think it was within the last year or so, and so they understand the features that are needed and how to go about doing this, and it's the same gentleman that did that, and it's the same design principles. So I understand what Heather is saying, but in the same token, the meandering more represents the natural channel, the natural flow of it, and so we need that as part of the design. In some cases, your bank may be larger on one side, smaller on the other. Your channel remains the same, but in one case, when you look at the section you have in front of you, the one side of the bank might be a little bit shallower, but then on the other side, when you look at the plan, right, it'll be a lot larger. So overall, it tends to average out with that.
I see.
And so we did have that discussion today.
Okay. That's all I had.
Any other questions at this point?
I have a question.
Yes.
So when you talked with them about the stream, did they talk about erosion and stabilizing those banks? Because you don't know what the soils are yet. So I think that's part of it as well. However, there'll have to be some stabilization.
Absolutely. And so as part of the design of the relocated stream, I had that discussion with our environmental consultant. So we're working on a mix that would be that would work for erosion areas, as well as we're trying to incorporate some like wildflowers into it as well, so that we have some blooming, but it's almost like a dual service purpose where it's going to minimize the erosion, but at the same time, we can get some aesthetic value out of it as well. So we are incorporating it as part of the design.
Anything else, Judy?
No, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else with any questions at this point?
You don't know what the depth of groundwater is at this point?
We don't, unfortunately. Typically, with a property that we might be involved with, one of the early things that we do is we come in and do soil borings. We want to understand what the conditions of the soils are. I think I have a general idea. I think we're going to hit good sandy soil. I've been able to find a lot of information available out there. However, the one wild card is what the depth of the groundwater is going to be.
And the marl.
I'm sorry?
And the marl.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
Okay. Anyone else? Any questions? Okay. Thank you. And we may have some questions for you after we open up for a public hearing. There may be some questions that we'll address to you. But
thank you.
So, Rick, would you like to make any comment before I open up for a public hearing?
Sure. You obviously have the staff report in front of you. Just wanted to highlight a couple of issues. We reviewed it under Section 602 for the special land use for the drive-through and felt that it complied with that. The applicants provided plenty of stacking space, and it's consistent with the area and the zoning district and other uses in the area. We also felt that it was consistent with the requirements of site plan review for the entire project in Section 820. There were a couple of things we did note. One of them was they will need a waiver from the Planning Commission. Either they would need a waiver from the Planning Commission for the connection to the east, or a waiver from it being less than 30 feet from the right-of-way of US 31. If you look on the drawings, it's a little hard to see, but there's some dashed lines at the far northeast corner, and that's where they're proposing a connection in the future if Traverse Bay Motel ever is placed. It would go further to the east and connect there. But it's within 30 feet of the right-of-way of 31. So among our conditions is that waiver allowing that to be within that 30 feet. MDOT did not have any problems with that. So you have the choice of waiving it altogether, waiving the 30-foot, or requiring it somewhere else. But you know, the applicant was very cooperative and proposed that location. We were pleased that they added bicycle parking, the connection to the TART trail, that they've agreed to lower the color temperature of the lighting so that it meets that 3,000 Kelvin, which is recommended by the International Dark Sky Association and the American Medical Association. Let's see here. What else do we have? We've received comments and discussions with the township engineer, with the fire department, with Metro Fire. You know, everybody is reviewing it, and they're working very closely with them to meet all their requirements and conditions. As I noted, they might need a variance on the number of parking spaces, although that depends somewhat on the zoning amendment. We'll get more into that when we get to the zoning amendment, but essentially, of all the uses in the township, hotels and motels are the only one with that type of condition other than industrial uses, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, as industrial uses tend to have a lot larger employment levels. We're pleased that the number of curb cuts is being reduced along the US 31 corridor. That should help the traffic. We also are pleased that the buildings are more forward on the sites. Partially that's because of the wetland behind them, but also it lends to our attempt to create some friction along that corridor, make it feel narrower versus wider, so traffic tends to drive a little bit slower in those instances. We provided a number of conditions for you to consider this evening. You have the additional one from the township attorney that addresses what he thinks is appropriate related to the easement issue. Do you have that? Thank you. I'm just going to read it so the public can hear it. But his recommended additional condition would be the movement of the stream channel located at the south end of the property shall not be done until all state and local permits are in place, allowing for the lawful movement of the channel. He thought that was the most appropriate way to address that, along with the easement issue down there that is noted in the staff report. And then I will be glad to try to answer any other questions you might have as they come about, either from the applicant's presentation or from comments from the public.
Does anyone have any questions for Rick right now before we open it for public hearing?
I got a quick question. He was talking about an easement.
Yeah, it basically goes along the drive up coming in from 4 Mile and then
here.
Goes
That's
across and then continues across where the relocation is.
So it accesses his property back here, is that
yes,
what it is?
That, okay. That's the access to that property, that easement.
Is there a home or anything on that?
No, it's wetlands.
It's all wetland.
And wooded area. I believe some of the owners of that property are here this evening. That this is the language that the township attorney staff, along with the chair and the supervisor, spoke with the township attorney this afternoon, and this was his recommended language for addressing that issue.
Mindy, do you have a question for Rick?
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about the fact that they don't know what the soils specifically are at the site, the depth of groundwater and everything else like that. And in Damien's letter, he talks about stormwater and the fact that you know, really can't do a stormwater plan when you don't want, know what the soil conditions are, the depth of groundwater, yada, yada, yada. My concern is that, you know, we do have a plan in front of us, but, you know, that could change radically with what they actually find on site.
Right.
And the potential for marl below that site, it doesn't infiltrate. You know, what actually is going to happen there could be very different. So I guess my question is, do we just leave that on Wade Trim to approve that, you know, or how do you want to handle that?
Well, I have condition number 4 in the recommendation. So changes to the approved site plan based on input from the agencies listed above, and stormwater is one of them under the township. In condition number 3, shall require a resubmittal of a revised site plan to East Bay Township Office of Planning and Zoning to determine whether reconsideration and reapproval by the Planning Commission and or staff is necessary. So if it turns out that there is a significant change because of marl or whatever the issue is, and it's more than we think is a little bit that we, you know, moving this here, moving that there slightly, you know, then we're going to bring it back to the Planning Commission because it's too complex of a project not to do that. And that's why we have that in there.
So is the, he was saying that right now his plan meets or exceeds the township ordinance.
Correct. And they met with staff and with Wade Trim here at the offices.
Is that if what she's saying, if you don't get the infiltration?
The concern is, because of some of the natural features on the site, they have not been doing in-depth soil borings across the entire site. And so if they come across something...
That's what I want to know.
Right.
Because he's saying they want to do the better system, which I appreciate. Right. But what he also said is he's already meeting it. So is it meeting it without your problems you were talking about, Mindy?
Mr. Chairman? Do you mind if I offer?
I think, and I'll, yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. If he can enlighten me.
Go ahead.
That's a very good question. So we've actually designed it for the most restrictive purposes. We've designed it so that there's no infiltration, that everything is detained within the pipes under the parking lot. And so what you have in front of you is meets or exceeds the township ordinance. Consider it the most restrictive design. The system, should we hit conducive soil, would actually reduce. We'd actually shrink the amount of underground pipe that we would have. We would actually reduce it down. Again, I say that's a preferred method. It's a preferred method because, number one, it reduces the amount of pipe that we have on the property. Secondly, it also is a better practice, and that's you can get that sense from the council from their letter as well. However, without having that information, we designed it for the worst case scenario. So it is designed.
Okay.
Should there be marl there? Should there be this system will operate.
Dated February 8th, 2018, from Damien. Before or after the current plans were designed, because there's several things here that he says, per the ordinance, this doesn't meet. Per the ordinance, this doesn't meet. Per the ordinance, this doesn't meet.
Yeah, that is correct, but we had the meeting in person after that. The reason we didn't, there's only a certain, typically stormwater review is not done prior to site plan review. We asked them for an initial series of comments. That February 8th letter was the initial series of comments. Mr. Andre came up here a month ago, yeah, to meet and met with us and with Wade Trim, and they went through each of those bullet points in Damien's letter. Damien was there as well as Brian Souza, and they checked each one of them off. I don't know if the plans you submit, more updated plans, addressed every single one of those, but they addressed a number of those. And then, assuming they get approval tonight, they will submit stormwater application to go to Wade Trim, and that will be the formal review of the stormwater. But we do ask for
the information we're getting is conflicting. He's saying it meets, and this says it doesn't. So I want to confirm what And again, this is February 8th, so a lot could have happened since then.
Right.
The question.
So as part of the resubmittal that we made in the plans that you have in front of you, we also provided a response letter, and I believe that's in your packet. So and that addresses every single point item that in the February 8th wage trim review. And that really was generated based on the meeting that we had about a week prior to that. So we went through point by point, item by item, and we're very specific in addressing every one of those items. So the February 8th letter, if that you have that in front of you, you're right. There were some items in there that needed to be adjusted. Those were then subsequently adjusted based on the meeting that we had in early March and then the resubmittal of the plans March 15th. And if you have that review, that response letter in front of you, you'll see how we addressed every single one of those items. So we tried to be diligent in making sure that every single one of those items was addressed. And again, we understand that the stormwater submittal is typically done after the Planning Commission, but we felt that it was probably the most appropriate time based on the size, the scale, and the scope of this project. And there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to it. And so incorporating the full design at this point, having in front of you the Planning Commission, as well as giving the consultants and staff adequate time to review these in advance, we felt very critical. So if you can refer back to that March 15th response letter, you'll see how we addressed every single one of the February 8th review comments.
So the plan that we have before us is the
updated
plan. It's going to work no matter what the borings come in. Now, if the borings come in good, you could have a lesser plan, but you wouldn't have any.
Reduced.
Okay.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yes. And you're comfortable with that, Rick?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. At this point, I'll open up for public hearing. If anyone would like to address the Planning Commission with respect to this proposed development, please come up to the lectern and give us your name and your address and give us your thoughts with respect to the compliance with our site review standards and the special land use standards that we have. Be happy to hear from you. And someone always has to be the one to go first, so.
Hello, my name is Sally Erickson. I live at 2228 Kakana Court, Traverse City, Michigan.
And I'm sorry, did you say Erickson?
Erickson.
Okay.
And we own some parcels in East Bay Township. We own a parcel in combination with three other owners, my uncle, Brian Erickson, Paul Weiland, and Don and Erna Schaff. And that parcel is the 1.8 acres that's been referenced that has the easement. In addition, the Schaffs own the parcel on the other side of the tracks to the south, and we own a parcel that goes, actually three parcels that go up the hill, some acreage. So we're very engaged and interested in that area. We think that the redevelopment of this property is going to be a great thing. However, we have a true concern over the easement and the new meandering. A creek is pretty much on the easement completely in one section. If we chose to use that easement and to access it, we would be required to have quite a few bridges and different things in order to just have a simple driveway onto our 1.8 acres. Our request is that not only that they have the requirement that was written up today, but that we were contacted in a kind of a backdoor way through one of the realtors. But we personally have never been spoken to about this particular parcel or about the easement by the Stellar Group or worked with on any of these items. It looks like they've done a lot of homework in lots of other areas, but they never spoke with the owners of that 1.8 acres directly about the relocation of the creek or the easement. So we would respectfully ask that you add to that that an agreement be created, or they can purchase the property and do whatever they want, but an agreement between the people who have the easement and Stellar be created.
And just to follow up on that comment, because it was my understanding that you may be or someone may be making that type of a comment, and so I had a conversation earlier today with a township attorney who basically is advised me in turn and talking to my fellow planning commissioners that the township and the planning commission not get in the middle of whatever may be going on between you and the other property owner with respect to the easement. That's something that you guys will have to work out, and that's not an issue that's before the planning commission and for us to make that decision. Our sole basis is really to look at whether or not the development as was proposed meets with the site review standards that we have in our ordinance, and does it meet with the special land use with respect to the drive-through. And my thought, based on recommendation from township council, is not to get involved in the easement issue.
Okay. I'd still like to submit my written letter to you, because I do think
Certainly.
It's very important. If this was your land and they were going to put a creek across your easement and hinder your ability to get to and from your land, or make it very expensive to get to and
Thank
from
you.
Your land, I think it might be something that you would truly be thinking about.
But I think the issue is it's not our land. That's the issue. It's not our land. We're just here to look at whether or not
just help to enforce the rules. We understand.
Yep, as the township has set them forth for us. Yes, correct.
Thank you.
Right. I appreciate you listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's a really important issue, and we think that property rights need to be considered during these kinds of deliberations.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to address the Planning Commission?
Mm-hmm.
So I understand. I'm sorry, Corey
yeah.
Carlton?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Corey.
I actually live at...
I'm sorry, did you say Corey?
Corey,
okay.
Yep, C-O-R-Y.
Uh-huh.
I actually live at 1046 Knollcrest Court in Garfield Township. I'm representing my grandparents, Don and Ernest Schaff, at 946 Avenue D. Little history, my grandpa was Don's driving. He owned all that. He built that mini golf. He owned where all those houses are. That was all, you know, back in the day, that was a dirt road. And he strategically saved that piece of property, the 1.8 acres behind there. I understand you guys don't want to get involved. I've also talked to my attorney on it. I do believe that you need to take it in consideration before you make any kind of approve of a site plan that they've submitted that shows our property. I apologize, my grandparents and the Erickson's property as being used when they haven't purchased it. It's on their site plan. It's listed with the parcel number, but that agreement has not gone through. I did have a interesting conversation with an attorney, one of theirs. He was less than playful, told me that we were stupid for paying taxes on it because it wasn't worth anything. It's got an SEV of $102,000. You know, they claim that they're going to make it our property more accessible because they're going to have all these driveways going in there. But as you can see from the site plan, there's a 400-foot creek running lengthwise across our 25 feet. Easements cannot be moved. They can't be changed. They can't be blocked. So there is, I understand, in a letter I received today that they brought up that there is a go-kart track blocking it. And that was something that Grandpa did and allowed Pebblebrook to do as a business decision. You know, he was able to say, hey, I'm not going to use that for a while. Yes, you guys are welcome to go ahead and build that. But that doesn't, the easement is still there. Just follows the land. And on your other point of groundwater, Pebblebrook, I've worked at Don's Drive-In 8 years as a manager over there. Spent a lot of time playing and the go-kart track. Pebblebrook gets water in their basement every year. So groundwater's right up there. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the Planning Commission with respect to this proposal? Sort of a going once, going twice. Nobody else? Okay, thank you. I'll close the public hearing at this point and bring it back to the Planning Commission. And just to follow up with the commissioners, as I did have the conversation with Peter Windling today about that issue, and his advice was that the Planning Commission not get involved with respect to what the rights of the easement holder are vis-a-vis the developer here, and that that's an issue that they'll need to sort out, and that we're not going to get in the middle of resolving that one. So I think, according to him, we should look at this whether or not the Planning Commission feels that it meets the standards of the ordinance, irrespective of what the easement issue may or may not be. So, if any other thoughts on that one, but just passing along that advice to him from him. So, any other questions that you have of anyone at this point, or bring it back for discussion? John?
I don't really have anything to add or to question on the cross-access easement going to the east.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like something that, you know, looking at from that standpoint, unless something happens to that site, I don't know if it's necessarily needed, because there is the connection to 4 Mile. That property might be better suited to connect to the further to the other east side. So you could still have a connection there, but unless that building were to be changed, I don't know if it's...
It's not going to be something that happens anytime soon, but
right.
At least we have it in case the site's redeveloped to the east.
So in that case, I was wondering maybe it should be better to be located towards the rear, kind of where the dumpster enclosure is at.
Well, we have raised that issue with the applicant several times. One of the issues is there's a conservation easement down there, so you
right.
have to be very careful not to impact that. And if you put it where the dumpster is, then the dumpster has to move somewhere. And I guess the preference would not be to have it up by 31 per se,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a switcheroo. But I'll let him answer any other questions on that.
No, that's a very good point, because initially we had started out with the cross access along that southern portion to connect directly over to the property to the east, to the Traverse Bay Inn. The issue that we have with that is, if you look at the building, you can see on the plans that we have, there's twofold. There's a conservation easement for the wetland mitigation that had taken place on those property. So effectively, we can't touch it. We did reach out to Robin Schmidt of the DEQ. We did provide correspondence to staff as well with the DEQ's objection for us to modify that conservation easement. So we did investigate that. So even if we did provide, so let's take the dumpster out of play, and we continue with that cross access on that point, it's aimed almost directly at their building, mm-hmm. is the problem. And so because of where their building is situated, so closely to their west property line, and how we're aligned up between the roadway and also that conservation easement, there's very limited areas where we can probably offer cross access. So we did engage MDOT, and so in the location that we did depict on the plans, MDOT did review that, and they said they had no objection to it. Now, in the best case scenario is, this cross access really serves once that property is redeveloped. And so we've at least made a holding place for a potential area for that cross-access as part of the redevelopment, should they ever do that. So it's you're well-founded in what you're saying. Unfortunately, we did do our due diligence on this, and there's not a very good spot. So in lieu of just asking for an overall waiver from it, we felt that we could probably offer the best alternative location on the plan.
Okay.
How many parking spots would you prefer to get rid of?
I think at this point it's 13.
13.
Is if you look according to the planning
chart,
report and the chart.
And the staff report.
Yeah, staff report has it. I think we're, according to the current ordinance, we're deficient 13 parking spaces.
So if you did get rid of 13 strategically, would it be possible to move that?
There could be an opportunity to
off of the easement, off their easement,
off of their easement.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm thinking that dotted line is their
right.
easement.
So no. That the dumpster location would actually be the one we're referring to is over by the retail. We probably could shift that dumpster location up.
But just to make sure I'm understanding correctly, this plan already is minus the 13 from what's required.
It is minus the 13.
It already doesn't have the 13 spaces.
Oh, okay.
Per the current ordinance,
right.
Subject to what you have,
right,
you know, you'll be considering
on.
In the future.
But, okay. But the required parking space will be 337. Your plan reflects 324. Correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Any other thoughts, John?
This one's really kind of minor, but right now, in terms of accessing, I think it's great that they provided access to the TART trail.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great piece there. But looking farther to the west, in terms of once this is in place, there will be, it looks like there is access to kind of to the back end of Don's Drive-In and Hopscotch, and I'm just wondering if there's the ability to keep access to the TART trail from going kind of to the south in terms of any pedestrians or
you
bicycles.
Mean to allow access to those businesses further to the west from the TART trail?
Right.
Personally, I don't have a problem with that. It's whether they would be amenable to that idea of having another access point from the TART trail further to the west along that entry drive.
Right. It could be something that could be worked out with
the Don's Drive or
Hopscotch
or something.
Cover the cost of that improvement or whatever. But there's one there right now. I know it's kind of informally. I think there's a hole in the fence there with people that can get through there. So, but this would just to be known that this is going to be an improved area would at least allow for that same kind of pedestrian bicyclist connection. But
I guess that would be up to the applicant.
Yep. Is that?
I would say actually the thing that we'd like to do most is probably channelize both pedestrian traffic and the vehicular traffic to what extent possible. And I recognize I saw the connection, and you see people just kind of parking haphazardly a little bit to get access to the trail. Where actually, if we look at channelizing it in really utilizing the location that we have a bank of parking right there adjacent to it. That offers the closest parking and access to the trail rather than trying to have people maybe park along the side of the access road coming off of 4 Mile to try and walk or bike to another location.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't necessarily for parking. I
right.
was just thinking in terms of if you're on the trail and you wanted to get to Hopscotch or Don's, you can cut across the driveway there. That's
sure.
obviously.
Sure. I don't have any objection looking at that, and I can tell you that because we were, like I had mentioned just earlier, met with Matt, the owner of Hopscotch, looking at some of the circulation. We can look at pedestrian traffic as well.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would suspect that those other businesses along there, as your retail, you feel coordinates with the hotels, and there's some cross going on. I think the same with those existing businesses are going to be good for each other too.
Matt was very excited about the opportunity.
I can imagine, and that's a nice amenity then for the hotel guests as well. And I'll also tell you that you will have guests that will utilize that
church trail. Absolutely.
In the summertime, that'll be the easiest way to get into town.
Yeah, no, that, absolutely.
Hop on a bike and pedal.
Other than the free bus service on Bayline.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but that's not going to move. So.
That's a long bike ride. This old man. I'll take the bus.
It's a good bike ride. We've closed public hearing at this point in time. So, Mindy?
My biggest concern is the relocation of the drain, plantings along it, but... You know, that's the expertise of the DEQ and the Army Corps. I assume you get a joint permit. Because you just mentioned DEQ earlier. So I'll leave it to them. And I'm concerned about the stormwater, but again, I'm not the expert.
Deferring to those other experts.
Yes.
Ted?
Pretty much got all my questions answered.
Okay. Judy?
Yeah, I agree with Mindy. I'm concerned about the stream, but we'll leave it to them having been very involved with the removal of the Brown Bridge Dam, et cetera, and stabilizing those banks and the soils out there. I mean, they're still not stabilized, and water's going to go where it's going to want to go. Yeah. And then the only other question I had is that with the retail story, I see that there looks like there's service entrance is in the back where the drive-through cars are stacked. Well, yeah, it is. Do you see that there's enough space there, to the delivery truck and to get cars through? I just want to make sure.
Absolutely. That's a very good question. So there are loading spaces that are required by the ordinance, and I believe based on the size of this building, there's two loading spaces that are required. We're actually providing three loading spaces that'd be just off the southwest corner of the building. So we stack three loading spaces, and it's noted on there. So we feel, and typically when we have in the centers that we have, and like the one that you saw, deliveries typically don't coincide with a lot of,
early morning coffee
right.
shop.
Which it could be.
Right.
We don't have any users at this point, but we did provide dedicated loading and unloading spaces.
So you feel that, and I see that you have like six, an ability to stack
yes.
six cars, so... Yeah, and I don't know enough about drive-thrus to know it. I just know, sometimes at a lunch hour that the stacking gets pretty busy. But you wouldn't have loading then, probably.
No, exactly.
So there you go.
Exactly. And
if
you look at how we align mm-hmm. the loading, so when it's not in use, and if there was an additional stacking that's needed, people would be able to cross-utilize that.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. I don't have any other. I don't have any questions. I guess in my view, I think the proposal does meet the standards as Rick has set forth in the memorandum to the Planning Commission, and I would concur with the conditions that he's recommended, along with the additional condition that Mr. Wendling has recommended. So I would be in support of that. I have reviewed the April 3rd, 2018 letter that you presented to us this evening. And again, I would just state that on advice of counsel, that the Planning Commission, in my recommendation, is not going to make any decisions as to whether or not you have an effective easement, whether you do or you don't, whether they're encroaching on that easement. We're not the attorneys that need to make that decision. And so it may or may not, but that's a decision that's going to have to be decided between you and whether it takes the courts to do that. But that's not something that we need to get involved in, and I'd recommend that we not get involved in that. So I'm going to look at this just simply on the merits of whether or not it complies with our zoning ordinance. So, and I would support a motion to that effect. If there's any no further discussion, I would entertain a motion one way or the other on this.
I have a question with regards to the easement issue. In other circumstances, we recommended that people work together. More specific, say, the Culvers and the Ponderosa. Trying to get the back access for Culvers out Ponderosa's. Can we say anything about we recommend you guys talk to each other or something?
Well, I would suggest that I would never suggest that they not talk to each other, because I think they're going to have to whatever the issues may or may not be, they're going to have to resolve them. But I don't think we need to be in the middle of their talking with each other and resolving it and putting that as a condition on anything here, because that's not, I don't think we can, if it meets approval, I don't think we can delay approval because there may be an issue there. I think that's something they're going to have to work out. And that's basically on Peter Wendling's advice.
Are we doing approval of them together or separately? Special land use in the site plan.
The motion made is together.
Make it together?
Yep, the motion that was provided has them
right.
together.
Then I will make a motion that we approve special land use 1-18 and site plan review 2-18 with staff's 11 recommendations and the recommendation of the township attorney.
I'll support that.
Okay, it's been moved by Commissioner Henschel, with support by Commissioner Syke to approve special land use 1-18, site plan review 2-18, with the conditions as set forth in memorandum from the township planner, along with the additional conditions set forth by Mr. Wendling and was provided to us today. Any further discussion?
Did you want to add the other? The tart trail access.
Uh, Well, I think that'll probably, I wasn't too concerned that that'd be a part of our approval.
Yeah.
I want to naturally develop, even if they don't build one.
But. The only thing I have is you mentioned the AMA here, but you don't mention the night sky compliance. Does that need to be in this top part? Am I missing that?
No, it addresses it with approval is also based on the revised lighting details incorporating LED color temperature that shall not exceed 3,000 K.
Number seven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that addresses that there. Okay, thanks.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is Site Plan Review 4-18. This is from East Bay 1 LLC. This is time for public hearing and action. The applicant seeks a site plan approval for a seven-story hotel located on U.S. 31 North, just east of Three Mile Road and just west of the State Park. This is a use by right subject to site plan approval under our Section 820.
I think you start.
Yep, nope, you're here on behalf of the applicant. We'll let you go ahead. Yep.
Well, thank you so much, everyone. I'm Doug Mansfield, president of Mansfield Land Use Consultants, 830 Cottage View Drive, Suite 201, Traverse City, Michigan. I'm here tonight on behalf of East Bay.
I'm sorry to interrupt. If you want to just take it out in the hallway. Yep.
Yep. So I'm here tonight on behalf of East Bay One LLC with a proposed hotel. To be located on the former site, if those that can remember, of Arnie's Funland. It's been a while.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It wasn't that long ago that the boat was taken away and scrapped. But
was it that fun?
And actually, I think they actually rebuilt the engine of that thing.
This must be mini golf redevelopment night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who remember, last time we were here several years ago was to build an ark there. So
yeah.
And I think I saw a TV show the other day that it is one of the leading attractions in a new Florida development, the Noah's Ark. So, yeah, who knows? But our developer has ownership of the properties. It is two separate parcels. This will probably become significant in our discussions because they do have their own tax ID numbers before certain criteria in the ordinances. We are proposing a seven-story, 139-unit, 80-foot-high hotel on the site. It is a use-by-right. The criteria for the height difference is a increased percentage of open space, and we have met and exceeded that. The site, as you were out there tonight, it was last used as a construction staging for the 31 construction or reconstruction. It's rough. It's been used, abused, cracked, replaced, and so our intent is to take that blighted piece of property and redevelop it pursuant to the ordinance. We have the required amount of parking spaces for our guests and our employees. We have the required amount of open space, woody vegetation. We've met all the setbacks. To the southeast corner of the site is a storage building, something that our owner has looked up.
Can I just interrupt your thought?
Certainly.
Leslie, we can't close the door because of the open meetings. Can they use that little room where the coffee is? If they want to go in there, that might just...
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Make it a little quieter, and it's no fault of theirs.
Soft voice.
I've been on vacation, Ted, so I'm relaxed.
Me too.
You know, so yeah.
And I'm really tense, and I don't know why.
It's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least we're not getting 15 inches of noise.
Sorry about that, Doug.
So the site will be served with municipal extensions of sewer and water per the DPW specs. There will be a pressure test required when it thaws out. We don't like to do those in the wintertime because of ice and those kind of things. But according to staff at Wade Trim, there shouldn't be a problem, especially with your new water tank, and we're at the bottom of your pressure level. There are two existing curb cuts on the site and has been historically. We did propose to get rid of one of them, and that's one of the things I hope to discuss tonight is how to solve a problem with dual access. And I'm encouraged that you, on the previous application, you said we should plan for that cross access because it wasn't planned for in 1985, according to staff, with the Hampton Inn. And so it's a complication of this site and new ordinances that just took place in 2016 with the fire code. So we are using a underground infiltration system, and I know Heather Smith from the watershed had concerns about depth of groundwater. There was a full geotechnical report on this property done. Depth of groundwater from the existing elevations on the site, which actually is a little bit of a bowl there, after they took out the hill that was the putt-putt course, it's 6.5 feet. So we'll be raising that another foot or two with grade and subgrade. So we will be able to meet the criteria for infiltration. And we only found sand and gravel on the site here. So we're good with the stormwater system. And it will be underground. It is, as the previous gentleman said, that's the most advanced system you can have on the site. So that should alleviate her concerns. Again, we talked about the traffic. You've got the letter from MDOT with their plans for the increased attention to the signals. And pretty much saying this is the width of the road, so we're going to deal with it and the uses that are along it. As you're aware, we have the state park to the east. We have the state ownership, and I don't know where the plans are for that conceptual access out to 3 Mile that was there previous to this, but they do own the property to the south. And then we have the Hampton, another hotel, four-story high to the west, and along with the beach across the street. So beyond that, I'd really like to get into the couple issues that are laid out by staff and the fire department. The first one is with the fire department access. In 2016, there's always been this aerial apparatus, which we meet, okay? And then what that says is we need a 26-foot lane 15 to 30 feet away from the building, so they on a building, anything commercial over 30 feet, you have to have this, okay? And so we incorporated that, worked all that in, worked with all the turning movements of their ladder truck and everything, which are big, in a continued effort to close one of the curb cuts, because I know that's a big goal for this area. 2016 came around. They wanted this second access for certain buildings, and that access had to be remote from the initial access, okay? So, and what it says is the distance between those two accesses at the property line is 1/2 the greatest diagonal distance of the site. So, you take this distance, the greatest diagonal, cut it in half, and that's how far from this primary entrance to the secondary entrance is supposed to be. That's easier said than done. And if every lot was square and had an alley and these kind of things, so this is, I just got done with one of these on Peninsula. It's going to wreak havoc trying to do this and cause variances all over the place to meet this. But I totally respect what the staff at Metro Fire is doing. They're doing their job. They're reading the ordinances, and they're trying to play it out and meet the goals and objectives of everyone. So we have talked to them, and they said just that. This is our rules, Doug. We understand the complications of it. Do your best and bring it back to us, and most likely we'll go to an appeal at the fire level, which I've had the flavor of being the chair of for the last 7 to 10 years. So I will obviously recuse myself of that meeting, but they take this very seriously. They don't just hand out these variances. We have met, staff has met with the state park. I used to work with state park system. My mother worked with the state park system. I just have designed state parks. The connection to the state park is probably not going to happen, okay? So in the previous submittal, we talked about a pedestrian connection because of the complementary uses. But here they're kind of isolated, and pedestrians have the accessway out to the gate. Security is primary in a campground like this with tourists and things like that, especially with all the kids and such. So as much as we went through the motion, I'm going to say that one's probably off the table. Hampton, probably on the table, it's just a matter of how many dollars, okay? What hotel wants to facilitate a competing hotel next to it? There are laws in the state about that you can't mandate that we deal with each other. However, we still have to meet the codes. But to further explain what this is, and I've tipped this up, this is 31, the beach is over here, state park's here, this is the Hampton. The prescribed and conceptually approved location for the second apparatus road is at this point in the property line in the southeast corner.
That's per their standard?
Yes. That meets the distance requirements. You know, we're out of the wetlands. It's facilitated by other pavement. So it's this point. Now, what the ordinance doesn't say, and the ordinances were written by fire guys, not attorneys and planners like we have the enjoyment of. So they tend to think about just the point and not the legalities of trying to facilitate it. So if I put this connection here, which I'm more than willing to do, I satisfy the remoteness clause and the access. The curious thing is it doesn't matter how I get here, okay? It doesn't matter. They don't talk about how far this road can be or anything like that. So to facilitate this, it would be fine if I used one of the, with their permission, use one of the Hampton's Inn's entrance and just turned into this pavement down here. Okay. That's the clause. There's the dollar figure, probably. But if the object of this discussion is to get to point A, why don't I just utilize our second or existing access on our site to get to point A? It's 80 feet apart, okay? This whole equation of these secondary accesses supposes that there's an accident or something causing I can't get in here. So we're doing all this to facilitate an area of 300 feet because the ordinance doesn't prescribe that this needs to be out to another primary road or another primary access point. It just says you got to have it here. So we'll move through this operation. The goals and objectives I wanted to seek was because, and this is a township, it's a township fire department, it's a fire ordinance, okay? The fire township adopted it. I would like some thoughts given to I have two parcels, so per your ordinance I can have two curb cuts. Per MDOT I can have two curb cuts. So that's okay legally. I have an existing one there. The owner said, and it was a discussion, maybe this one should be right turn and this one left turn. Would that facilitate some turning movements to achieve the goals of the planning and zoning ordinances of the township? To just not allow this another entrance for the sake of this. We could gate this. That would be another thing. But I'll tell you, fire departments don't like the idea that you're going to take $1 million fire truck and go through a gate. Ain't going to happen. Nope. We could make it texturally, aesthetically look different and minimize it as an emergency-only gate. But the problem is, just like this gentleman said, if people see a piece of pavement, they want to go there, you know. And we know trying to get out here can frustrate a lot of people. So,
Can I interrupt just a second? Just
yes.
To try and follow you so far. So, the ordinance with respect to fire is you need to have two means of ingress and egress from this parcel.
Because let me just clarify why. Because it's over, because it's over 30 feet high, is the.
Because of the way the building
yes,
is configured.
Yes.
That's what mandates
right,
that.
Right. Right.
And they're saying that it needs to be at least half the distance of the diagonal,
right,
or whatever.
Yes.
Which means that your other curb cut that exists now would not satisfy
right.
that requirement.
Right.
But you're saying that, so if you put an access to the back end of the Hampton,
mm-hmm.
and then it can be, you've now got an exit that's mm-hmm. that far away, and even though you're not going to come out to 31 North, you're going to be 20 feet or 30 feet
right.
from where you otherwise would have been.
Right.
Right. Am I following
right.
so far? Okay.
Yeah. In all practicality, just because this is on the west side of this property line and this line's on this side of the property line, shouldn't affect the goals of putting out a fire or emergency in this building. You know, that this doesn't change the routing. It doesn't change where they come from. It basically says this 85 feet is the only difference here, you know. So, again, my bigger thing is, and we will still put in, I'll put in connections because I'm all for service connections. I'll put on one on every side for future. I have no problem in doing that. I think the idea of necessitating pulling out on that highway to go to whether it be the putt-putt course or a restaurant is terrible, you know, in this day and age, you know. So I have no problem putting those in and everywhere.
And yours is proposed at the...
Yeah, right now we had it here, which has been typically in the forefront where people can use it and police it. I'm not in favor
Hampton
totally of...
doesn't have anything.
No. It was 85. It was before that. Yeah.
So all you got to do is put it down at the south end.
Right.
And then you make the fire department happy, and we're happy.
Right. That's what I wanted to hear.
Still have one curb cut.
Because they're going to come to you and say, what are your goals and objectives too? You know. So I just wanted to show you it sounds like a lot more than what it is. But I totally embrace what those people have to deal with on a day-to-day basis of enforcing these ordinances that we adopt and things like that. So
I'm glad they're doing it because we started it a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a lot of flack for it. So it's nice to get some backing now.
Well, it took that long to become an ordinance. 2016, you guys were doing it in 93, I think. So, and some of them happened. Some of them we've forgotten about, and there's sheds on them and things like that. But they're there, you know, when you need them. And unfortunately, we just kind of assumed. We called staff, and they where is it? We'll connect in wherever it is. Well, there isn't one. You know, oh, okay. And there's not one, just so you know, there's not one from Hampton to the parking lot of auto owners to get out to 3 miles. Someday, and this is, what do we figure? It's a 40-some-year-old hotel, which is beyond my belief that Hampton's at.
I know.
Yeah, right. Someday they're going to come back for remodeling and things like that, and we'll get this whole thing figured out. But and our connection will be there for them to connect into. So it's interesting because this same kind of rule is the one that we use in subdivisions for future connections, mm-hmm. and a lot of times we don't have that connection, but we stub it out, and that relieves that issue.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. That doesn't say that in this part of the commercial and industrial zones. It says you shall have those. And it's not in the future or anything like that. You shall have it today. But so that's that issue. However you want to handle it tonight, at least I'd like direction or an understanding that you're on board.
Well, and maybe this is a question for Rick, but mm-hmm. I mean, if this is ordinance for fire department, I don't know that we've got any authority to say anything differently, do we?
No, they'll reach out and say, you know, They understand your goals and objectives about access management, too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm saying is when we're only talking about... So we're talking about it's Cherry Festival, it's a thunderstorm, it's Armageddon, okay? Because that's what... fire rules... I sit on what was the fire board for 20-some years. I get this. And it is all about safety, and especially the guys that are going, guys and gals that are going. So, but we're talking about doing this, and it only effectuates anything if there's an accident within 220 feet. So the accident, the issue has to happen in here. Is it worth opening up another curb cut and causing what will be a conflict, attorney, I mean, you potentially cause more accidents mm-hmm. and more emergencies by having another curb cut mm-hmm. in the when you look at the reality of what we're only talking about the ideal that on that Armageddon that that's going to take place within that 200 feet. Because otherwise, this the curb cut doesn't do any good. So that's kind of the discussion, I think.
Backing up, then, all you're doing is saying move it.
Yeah.
Wait. Move it. You got it, because I'm still a little confused.
He's got, on the plan we're looking at,
yeah.
uh-huh.
he's got his connection to the next property,
yeah.
to the
up
west.
At the roadway.
If he puts it down here at the bottom.
I don't think we care whether it's
right. I don't think we do either.
West corner or the south.
No, I think the bottom is better actually.
Well, I think he's saying you prefer the top.
The only reason the top is when I do a service drive is for self policing. I mean, people going around the back of hotels. Now you've given that ability to break into a car and escape out the back way. Okay, retail like that. You know, when they're closed and their operations, the police like to be able to drive by it from the main roads and see it. And people doing the wrong things hate that.
A lot of ours are in the back already.
I know.
So on that stretch.
But I get this. I'm okay with both of them. If you want both of them, it doesn't, because I believe in it. You know,
yep.
Especially you know, you think about garbage trucks going from each one, the idea that they have to pull back out on that road and the time it takes for them to do that and deliveries and stuff.
Okay, and I apologize if I'm just being a little
yeah.
slow tonight.
All we addressed it in the you know,
yeah.
Is that you know that if the Planning Commission decides it wants to recommend or wants to approve it tonight, is that they waive the need to go to the east because of the state park.
Okay.
Right. We don't see how that's going to
yeah.
work out.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to them how they want to do it to the west.
But honestly, if you want one to the east, I'm okay putting one there, too.
I guess what I don't understand is it really up to them if the fire department or if the ordinance is you got to have it that distance away?
But that's them working it out with Metro Fire, not the Planning Commission.
Ultimately, it could come back. I have had one in all my years come back to the town board. Well, it was here. It was out on Rennie Lake.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted
well, it, yeah. and so can they necessitate if the cut is going to be in the southwest corner,
mm-hmm.
Your client's customers could exit through the Hampton Inn.
Well, not without their
okay.
approval.
That's where
right.
I'm trying to.
So that's where, for at least the time being, we may have to put that curb cut back in on this property.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The
yeah.
fire department is not going to go with it stubbed
right.
out.
Even though, well, I'm not saying they won't.
It might
they may see my point, okay?
All right.
The yeah, other thing is that...
pretty good grade between Hampton
Crest. It's only about 2 feet.
And you're pulling up the property 2 feet, so it's actually going to mount?
I could do it and keep it under the 8-9% that they like, you know? Because I actually have, so I have the 10-foot buffer, and then you think I can drop that... where those two parking spaces are, and you think about it being flat, I can drop that grade down, too. And so I'm 30 feet to make up 2 feet.
So you could make it for emergency, but not
right.
look like it's an access for everybody.
Mm-hmm. The one thing staff at Metro Fire is pretty good about, I mean, they live here, too, and they understand, and they understand managed growth is a good thing for them too. They like their new equipment that comes with millages and tax assessments and stuff like that. So they're pretty good about working. I just want to know the consequence, you know, so you guys are aware of it. It's the stuff we go through. So
they're necessitating you have a second means of ingress and egress.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily for the public.
No. Just for them. Yeah. And then while they hate gates, I can do them. There's specifics to it, you know.
Could a gate be done from the Hampton inside at the north end? That way it's not...
The Hampton has their rights. I mean, we can't... Yes.
I'm just thinking that's less onerous to them than
right.
cars going
right.
through all
right.
the time.
Yeah. It'll come around through the years. Someday they'll come in and you know.
They'll have to come up to code, right?
But trying to force the issue now is probably not going to work real well.
That doesn't, we already tried that.
Right, yeah. So I just wanted you to know what was going on. And really, I understand the idea of having a remoteness if this was going out to, say, 3 Mile or something. But the fact that this cures it, but it comes off the same road, 200 feet from the same other
And maybe this is where I'm still having an issue with this, is that you're telling us why this doesn't make sense when you really ought to be talking to the fire department.
Yeah,
why this makes sense. Because this doesn't really matter what we think.
Right.
Okay.
It does.
That's the part I'm trying. Well, I get that, too, but that's the part where I get confused a little bit, because you're trying to convince us of something that it's really a fire department issue. Okay.
So I think I think the report says I meet everything else except this character analyzation.
Yeah, so there are two issues, I think, that you were... One is this, and then the other one you're about to get into.
Right.
Okay.
1991, Doug Mansfield attends the APWA certification on traffic calming and livable streets. I am traffic calming guy. I love traffic calming, okay? I live it. I love the urban pattern downtown. And I live in the rural pattern, utmost. So I enjoy and I respect both. I understand characters, and I understand probably more than a lot of the people the character of the Miracle Mile. I've studied it. I've done 8 of the hotels since I've been here along this route. And what I love about the Miracle Mile is that it is a jumbled assortment of age and vegetation and architecture, vertical movement, horizontal movement. There is no consistency along here. I understand the idea behind in the philosophy, psychology of moving buildings towards the road, that it psychologically slows people down. I believe that it does. But it's only effective if it's right on the road. There is a study, and so your planner has laid out a series of what he calls trends. I disagree that they're trends, because about 80% of those buildings have been there for at least 40 to 50 years. They've been remodeled, rehabbed, redecorated, re-owned, but most of these 19 sites are age old. They're cottages, a lot of them, that were developed into stores or whole rooms. You take the 19 of that list, 8 of them don't meet the zoning ordinance. So we can't use those, okay? Because you got to meet the zoning ordinance. 18 of those distances that he listed for those projects don't apply. So when he says we're set back so much greater, we'll take out the ones that don't meet the ordinance. Then I wanted to really say, looking at this, creating that friction, okay, is done by height also. And when you're doing that, you also need to look at what you're doing to people's acknowledgement of the area and their distractions of it, okay? So while we may have one building that's 30, which is the minimum setback, take out all the other ones that are closer to that, they're only one-story buildings, okay? If you look at some of those things, or the porte-cochères are only 15 feet high, we're talking about a building that's 8 times taller than that, 6 to 8 times taller than that, one story. And that inflection on that can be just as conflicting with traffic movements, especially at the speeds they're moving there, 45 to 55 miles an hour. I don't know anybody that goes 35 in there. The other thing is that if you don't have both sides of this, okay, not only can you have to look at your ordinance, okay, because you can't say the corridor or the area or it has this character. Everything to the... This is the first time in 25 years that I've been doing this in this township that this issue's come up, okay? But I understand the goals and objectives. I've seen the traffic go from 20,000 to 25,000 and now 34,000 trips per day along that road. I won't say it's going any faster or slower than it did 20 years ago. Maybe now because our pavement's better. But as a citizen, I will tell you, and as a planner, a site person who does site planning, putting this building in the same distance or even an approximate same distance as a one-story building is a complete flaw, okay?
So do you think the site plan we just approved is flawed?
I didn't see it, okay?
Fair response.
Yeah, I have so many of them that I could look at.
Fair response.
Yeah. If it's the one thing is, so here's the rule of thumb, okay, that we use. You're sitting at 3.5 feet high in your car, okay? You've got an angle that you're looking out of from your perception. You take that angle and go up 30 degrees from there, okay? That's the cone of angle that you're going to be influenced in your car when you're driving down that road. Zero from 3.5 feet high, 30 degrees up. That gets you to about two stories, okay, is where other structure your car takes to take over. That's all you're going to see. That gets you back about 30 feet, okay, is that cone of influence that you have. Beyond 30 feet, you won't find a study that even talks about traffic calming. Traffic calming doesn't work after 30 feet. The principal thing, have you ever slowed down when you drive by Kohl's? Kohl's was the idea behind Gary Harsh, the planner for Garfield Township at the time, placing Kohl's where it was traffic calming. It's a blank wall, 20-foot high building that's 15 feet above the road. That was supposed to be traffic calming. And it does nothing. I will tell you, I drive it twice a day to slow down traffic on 31. You need to be inside that throat. The other thing is what other appurtenances or activities do you have going on in that throat, that area there? And then maintaining the character of your architecture and your landscape. So we've been going on Google Earth and doing Street View. You ever been on Google Street View on that street? November of 2016, it is most a glorious day. The sun is shining, the leaves are turned. It is beautiful along there. And the idea, and if I have to come back on this issue, we'll do a little Photoshop of that thing at 250 feet back versus 100 feet back when it's twice the size of the Hampton, okay, on that site. If you're driving by Plant Moran, what you also got to think about next time around town is it's one thing to drive around Front Street or the city of Chicago and have it shaded from the sun. But you drive along that beach and you start impacting the sun corridor there, it won't be in July because we're up at 60, 70 degrees in this town, about there. But at noon in January, we're just going to make that corridor darker. And so it's not just about this. And you have to really look at the impacts of a lot of different things than just saying, hey, moving the buildings closer. If you want to start, I do agree with the character of the area to start incorporating more trees, maybe increasing the street trees along here or other softer appurtenances. But the buildings aren't your character. If I'm headed from the east to the west on this site, what do I see? 2,000 linear feet of nothing but trees. To tell me that the character is of that area, and then what do I have on the other side? I've got the beach, you know. So to tell me that the character of that area is, you know, having a building 10, 20, 30 feet off the edge, I'm not buying it. The other thing is I'm not buying it's an ordinance. I'll tell you, this is such a far reach of your ordinance. I'm inside the setbacks. This has never been applied before. If you want traffic calming, if you want the urban pattern in that area, you better get it in your ordinance because this is a $15 million project. My owner isn't taking lightly to this, and he deals in the urban pattern. His planner was a former planner for the city of Lansing. He understands the urban pattern, too, and he understands ordinances. So it's not there, guys, I'm going to tell you. So you got to establish more goals than just characters and the, your staff reached out a mile to draw those. If you always draw a mile in any direction in that area of this site, we've got farms and woods and wetlands and campgrounds. I mean, to say that there's a character. But then I go back to, isn't that what we love about the Miracle Mile? Is that it's not just a corridor of buildings. You've got little cottages next to new hotels, and everybody seems to enjoy them. Take that in as a character. To be zoned, to have everything in a certain place, only fits in certain places. So as a citizen, as a planner of this area, conscious of the work I've done in here, I beg you not to fall in that trap too quick, okay, of traffic calming. So you can do what you want with that idea. I won't find in any other site plan review that I've been involved with or know of in the last 20-some years in this township, and since this ordinance has been created, where it's dealt with this character analysis to try to force someone to build a build two line. If you want to build two line, get it in your ordinance.
Yeah, I guess the part, Doug, that's confusing to me is that just looking at what this project is, mm-hmm. that I would think you and the, you on behalf of the developer and Rick would be in complete sync with the idea of moving it up. Mm-hmm. And that, I'm just telling you, that's what surprises me, because if I'm in a hotel and I'm on the water, I'd prefer to look over the water than look over the parking lot.
Right.
And in your development on the top floor, you've got, I think, is a, I don't know whether it's a meeting room or whatever you've got up there, and you're looking over a parking lot. And I'm thinking, why would they want to do that?
Yeah.
And so I'm just surprised that that's an issue. And I don't. So what is, if you could, what's the, and I don't think this is really part of the consideration, because I think it's, you know, does it meet the standard? And Rick will give us his recommendation. You've told us what you think, but. Why is it so important to the developer that it be located where it is as opposed to
more
up towards the beach?
Number one, 35,000 trips per day.
So too close to traffic.
Yes.
Epic noise.
Noise, traffic, lights. Okay? You want to talk about controlling light? That highway is just a circus of lights. The other thing is that he... And I truly, after being on vacation, I took this in because I knew this was coming up. Your eye is drawn to what it wants to see, okay? You can look, I was just came from Aruba across the highway, you know, not a highway, a little road was the beach. Your eye goes to where what it wants to see. And it wants to see that. So then the other thing is contextually, you know, he enjoys this, the wood line, okay? He enjoys that. And being back there is part of that. He sees that as part of being in northern Michigan. So, and again, the storage building you look over, the cars you look over. When I drive by the state park, I don't see the cars. I see the bay. Because you know in the summertime that is two loads of cars right on the street.
Yeah, what I also equate it with is like the hotel on to go.
Right.
And I've been up to the rooftop bar a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things is because where it's located, you don't see the street from up there.
Right.
The only thing you see is the bay.
However,
and you could be right on the water as far as you know. But
over having stayed in the Indigo, you can't drown out that traffic. And the whole building just shudders every time a semi-truck.
They also didn't use very good windows.
Right.
There are windows that can mitigate that noise.
There is some. However,
right.
I did used to bank at Irwin Union,
uh-huh.
which was a very high-quality building, and the truck
Same
came
issue.
Through the windows. But if you remember, the semi came through the windows. So, again, and that's in the city. The Miracle Mile is not the city, and I beg you not to make it the city. Again, if we're back 100 feet, you are not influencing traffic calming whatsoever. Okay, so if that's the suggestion, anything beyond 30 feet will have no impact upon the view shed at all. So if I need to prove that to you, that's fine. I'll come back. I'll come back also with a Photoshop that you'll say, "What the heck are we thinking?" Because I'll tell you, if you go on Google Street Image, when you go home tonight, you're going to see the most glorious sun over this section. Because what do? You drive by the state park, and it's always dark. But you get to here, and there's a break in the sunshine. It opens up. You got the beach on the right. So I will tell you that if that's a strong statement, we need to go. We're going to go head to head on that, and I don't like to do that with East Bay Township.
Yeah, no, I got the threat. Yeah. I mean, that was clear. Yeah. You made that clear. So. You mentioned how much money your client has. And
right.
So. I didn't take too kindly to that. But
it's a $15 million project.
I understand.
He doesn't take that lightly.
I understand that, you know, but I read what you told us.
Right. So, yeah.
So.
That's where I'm at on it.
Yep. So, any questions?
Doug, I understand what you're saying, and moving it closer is not going to necessarily slow the traffic down. As a matter of fact, with all these projects tonight, I'm hoping the activity ultimately will help us be seeing this less as a pass-through highway and more as a continuation of Munson Avenue the way it is when it's going further to the west. But I'm just wondering from an aesthetic standpoint, I mean, $15 million, I think it's an awesome opportunity for this corridor. I mean, especially with the upper level and having this facility here, I think it's going to be great for the corridor. I'm just wondering from an aesthetic standpoint, I get what you're saying, but it just seems like it is kind of tucked in the way back there, and it seems like it could be a real more of a shining jewel for the corridor if it was up a little bit closer. And I know that that's not where you're going, and you don't want to.
I'll take that point on, John,
yeah.
Because this is part of it. If it was a public building, it would take more precedent in being forward than a destination hotel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are places where an important building like that should stand out, okay? This isn't that. If this was a government building, if it was even a something that celebrated seniors, if it was a senior housing project, you know, that you celebrated your seniors, or a school, you know, then it should be out.
Yeah, I get
that. Yeah, library, public building, yeah.
The question I got, what's in the storage barn? That's a huge 7,000 square feet. That thing is huge. I was just wondering what's going on there.
It was funny, he called me one day, and he said, I forgot something, Doug, and I forget it on every project, and it's a maintenance building, okay? And I said, okay. I wholeheartedly agree, because how many times do we have to come back to you guys and say, you know what? And it's just a 24-by-24 garage. Can we just do it? And you say, nope, we got to go through this, you know. So I said to him, he said, how big do you want? Oh, the biggest one that fits here, he said. So, you know, and now you do have it here. This gentleman does have a lot of other holdings in town silently. You have a plow truck, and you've got your own landscaping. You know, if you don't hire all that stuff out, you got to find a place for it. And you're talking about plants and plots and flowers and seasonal changes inside. 7,000 square feet's big, yes. So I was a little bit surprised, too. I was kind of also surprised that it met the ordinance still, frankly. But, yeah, I'm picnic tables, bicycles, which... You know, again, Rick had the great idea, you know, on bike racks. And I said, Mike, you need to do bike racks. And I said, not only that, you need to do the best bike racks in town, because that is a huge thing, you know. But bikes or kayaks and these kind of things, I mean, it does all add up. We all have our basements and our garages. 7,000 square feet, I'm going to tell you, is big, but it is also allowed by the ordinance. So, yeah.
I guess my only thing would be it looks, at least in the elevations and so forth, like a big pole barn. And I think it is going to be a beautiful site. When you look at the actual site like we saw today, mm-hmm. with all the clutter and the stuff there, it doesn't look like. But when you look around it and knowing that the state park land, mm-hmm. actually on three sides, but the back side and to the east, I mean, all that wood lot is going to stay there. And so it's going to be it's a nice setting. Ultimately, mm-hmm. it's going to be very attractive. I just think I would think about, and this is really up to you guys, but it seems like somehow to camouflage that thing, or just
it's most likely, because he's in Florida like a lot of people for a long time, he'll probably say, yeah, I want the face of that to be matched the existing. And if you want to make that a recommendation, I don't know that you can make it an ordinance, but make it a clause of your comments, I'm fine with that.
No, I was just a comment there on this, in terms of the aesthetics.
Right. I was surprised too. When we talk about changing these things too, hotels swing like a pendulum. And right now, you got a pendulum with the PIP, the required improvements that every franchise makes you do. It's such a huge change in the philosophy of the hotel stay that it's worth more to build a new one than trying to remodel the old ones. That's what you're seeing right now. And I've got seven of them in my office, probably seven or eight in my office. So that pendulum is swinging. We won't do ones for 20 years, and all of a sudden it comes back around. But you see difference in security. For a while it was park at your door, drive around the back, wherever the closest. They don't want that anymore. People don't want it. They want to be right by the front entrance. They want to be where all the lights are and security is and these kind of things. So you don't see that, let's envelope this whole thing with everybody having their own parking spots like it was. The other thing is that this property has, dissimilar from so many others, is it's got width. It's got depth. I mean, so many other ones are 100 feet wide lots that were created years ago with the old plats, and they're, some of them I think are 600-800 feet long even. The Comforts Inn has got to be 500 feet long. I did that work on that one too, the hotel itself. And so it's just what you do with the property lends you. I've said my piece,
Any other questions for, I don't know if I went through, if anybody else has any questions.
Is the parking number of spots just to the ordinance, or did we go over?
We're right to where we're at, need to be. Yeah.
Right to the ordinance. So if we change this, if we amend that parking lot ordinance, would you put in less spots?
Maybe a little bit, but I really have to look at what ones,
I was just thinking it would look, if it does stay where it's at, I would like to see bigger islands, mm-hmm. more trees.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to see a bigger throat right down this vista here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool, tree lane, then drive down into the, something like that. But, if you could have less spots, mm-hmm. less asphalt's always better.
I'm a big proponent of that, too. So.
Mindy, any questions?
Is the underground storage tank still there?
No, I think that's all been cleaned up. When Nielsen's.
Yeah.
Nielsen's had it, yeah. They took care of all that. Along with the boat. So.
Judy, any questions?
Nope.
Okay, thanks, Doug.
All right, great.
Rick, any your comments on this?
Well, you've seen my report, and like Mr. Mansfield said, most of the issues we don't have a problem with, and we understand the problem that's come up with the fire and flexible on looking that out. The other issue about the character of the area, I do think you can make a case that the south side of the road has a different character than the north side. The north side of US 31, the hotels are primarily up against the water, because that's where people want to be, up by the beach and the water. The south side, they're closer to the road. And I don't think you can throw out the ones that are too close. Maybe you can set them at 30 feet, but even if you made them at 30 feet, the average setback is going to be considerably less than what's proposed. But just to throw them out, I don't think that's fair. And then lastly, the fact that perhaps this has never come up before is nobody's proposed a building this far back before on this side of the road. Williams & Works may not have brought it up in the past. I certainly hadn't had any reason to in the 2 years, because we had many other hotels proposed longer other than the two that were here earlier. And those were proposed partially forward because they have that wetland area behind them. So they can't really go moving back because of the wetlands. But also, they felt the way it was designed was appropriate for what they wanted to do and the type of clientele they were going for. So, I think, it is a valid point that can be brought up. I don't think the applicant can use the cost for their... You're not supposed to use financial considerations for your arguments for or against on a zoning issue. It is a nice investment in the community. There's a lot of nice features about it. We support the project, except for we think it should be brought closer, not necessarily right up on the road. We understand the road noise and trying to fit that layout on there, but to address it somehow. However, if the Planning Commission has other feelings on that and is uncomfortable with that stance, we understand. We have some conditions for you to look at if that's what you prefer to do, is to consider making a decision tonight. And,
the conditions to consider are in the packet?
No, no, not right in the there. Packet. I brought them
because
staff is recommending that you postpone a decision on it until they can address these issues of the setback and or while they're dealing with that maybe even fire issue. But obviously the applicant's representative has said, you know, they want an answer more quickly than that. One other point I guess I'll point out is the applicant certainly had the opportunity or the ability to come in for a sketch plan review with the Planning Commission and staff to try to iron out some of these things ahead of time. And instead, they insisted on being on this meeting. So if they wanted to work out some of these things, they could have tried to do that a little more amenably.
With all due respect, I have one thing that we only would have discovered had we gone through site plan review at the fire department.
That's true.
So the second thing is something that we've, again, never heard of and not really probably going to do. I'm just going to tell you that. So I have dealt with build two lines, average setbacks, for the 30-some years I've been dealing with here. Never have I seen just something that based on the character, one sentence out of the last statement, which I'm not even sure I can turn into what the planner wants it to say, is that the character establishes the setback between a one-story building and an 80-foot, an allowance for a one-story to an 80-foot. When we're talking about character, there's a lot of things that make up character. So the idea we came to site plan review is I am not thinking I'm getting approval tonight. I know the fire issue should be a huge issue with you guys. I'm comfortable coming back. I'm not asking for approval tonight. I'm not demanding approval. If that's your thought, I would like it, but I can completely understand, and frankly I'm surprised after my last couple projects with your attorney in other townships, that he's allowing you to approve anything with any conditions, because that's what the courts have thrown back on these cases, is you don't do this with conditions. You know, that one's got to go to the town board, so it's a little bit different. But so if you want to discuss this further, I'm here to take in your goals. Staff is staff, and I deal with staff all over the place. You guys are the ones that live here, okay, and represent your community. So I really respect what you have to say.
Yeah, and I respect what you have to say, okay. And I respect what Brett has to say.
Right.
So I understand there's
but
a
But I'm not demanding
of
you.
But I'm not, I'm not suggesting I don't respect either one of you.
Right.
And I think we all need to do
that.
And obviously the township is employing Rick to give us some advice as to what he thinks about it. He's the township planner.
Right.
So
we
just can't ignore what he
has to say. No, I understand.
I will concur with the applicant's representative that they do meet all the setbacks. Nobody can disagree with that. It's whether or not it's consistent with the character of that side of the road. So, and some of them are multi-story. The Hampton is four stories. And the office building's two or three, and then a couple of the other motels are two or three stories as well. So it's not all one-story buildings. So, you know, I understand his argument, and yes, it's probably something that's not been raised before. But at the same time, a concern I see is, okay, assuming this gets approved at this setback, what's to stop the Hampton and everything to the west of it going at that setback all the way down to 3 Mile? And then you have that whole section there with, when you come down that on 3 Mile, you're looking at parking lots. Yes, they meet the setbacks. Nobody can deny that. Maybe, yeah, but I do know we've had discussions at the Beach District Quarter. Yes, it's not an adopted ordinance. It's draft goals and objectives. We have some language in the ordinance that talks about the character of the area. It's not as ironclad as a setback requirement or a prescribed, I can't think of a...
Build-to line?
Yeah, thank you. So, but all I'm trying to raise is the issue of think about what we want the corridor to look like on that south side. The north side, it's pretty much everybody's going to build up by as close to the beach as they can.
How far off the road are those hotels on the north side?
I didn't measure those. But they're certainly further than these. There's a couple of older ones, like the Brio Beach and things like that, that are closer. The porte-cochere of, I don't remember if it's, some of the porte-cocheres come closer than the main building. But, the beach house and the Baywatch are certainly more significantly further back. Tamarack's pretty far back. Peninsula Bay's pretty far back. I mean, they all are fairly far back because the only place to put their parking is between the building and 31. You know, they don't want to put the parking there by the beach because that would be defeating the purpose of the beach and the resort.
I think what we need to do is he's not looking. He said he doesn't have to have it tonight. Let's take some time and, you know, when we went on our site review, I wish he would have put in there, you know, when you go down through there, check it out. Check out the character of the area. So give me a chance. I mean, I live here all the time. But when I'm driving that road, I usually watch the road because there's so much traffic.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe we could all take a private time and drive up and down that road a few times and maybe get somebody to drive you up and down that road so it's safe so you can get an idea of the character. And I'll be honest with you, I would not act against him on what you've said without talking to our attorney first, saying if he thinks that we can defend what you're saying, because that is kind of a vague part of the ordinance. So I'd like to offer a
now I'm going to leave it here. And then
we have to have public hearing.
No, I'm with you. Doug, I'm just going to leave it here for right now, okay. And we'll come back to you.
One last thing. Zoning has to be measurable.
Okay.
It has to be measurable.
Any other questions for Rick at this point before I do go to a public hearing? Okay. No? Okay. So at this point in time, I will open this up for public hearing. If anyone from the public would like to make comment with respect to this proposal, if you could come up to the lectern and give us your name and your address, we'd be happy to hear from you. And I'm seeing three people out there. Any of you wish to speak about this? I'm getting three no's, okay. As a result of that, there's no one wishing to speak. I'll close the public hearing at this point in time and bring this done back to the Planning Commission. So as I'm understanding, Ted, you're suggesting that if the applicant is saying that I don't need to have a decision tonight, that we at least postpone this for a month for further consideration. In the meantime, one of the things that I'm guessing that you're saying is to get some opinion from Mr. Windling as to whether or not if we concluded that the development as proposed does not meet the site plan standards, review standards, because it was not in character with the surrounding area, whether that, if that was the basis for decision, whether that would be legally defensible. Right. Okay.
And give us some time to get our own opinion of the character of the strip there.
Okay. Any other comments with respect to what Ted has indicated?
I also think we need a resolution to the Metro Fire's concern.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear you.
Right.
Resolution to the Metro Fire concern.
And possibly if the... we won't know, though, because we're only going to recommend to the township about the parking, right? Amendment?
You're not recommending.
We actually make it tonight?
On the parking change.
That would only be recommended to the township. So he wouldn't know in time to have, because he could possibly redraw it a little bit, take out some parking spots.
discussion about what Tez proposed? Or, I mean, I guess, and Doug, I want to, because I know that you want to make a comment. I'll just hold on a second, because I will get back to you. I want to let you know I get back to you. But, I mean, either someone can propose a motion that this be adjourned for a month for that, or someone can propose a motion that this either be accepted or rejected. I guess those are the options. So I'm not saying it's one or the other, anybody that wishes to do that. But so think about that one. So did you have a further comment, Doug, you wanted to make?
No, the only offering I'll do is again, on my wall in my office is this thank you from East Bay Township that I hold in highest esteem. I will bring back some Photoshopped elements showing, you know, 200, 150, 100, and let you see
how that would look.
Yeah. It's not about defensibility. If this is a huge goal of yours, that's different to me. But what I'm telling you as a planner who's worked with this township for a long time, careful what you ask for, guys. Because, you know, when you stay at these places, it's different. When you build them, that's different. You know, and are you accomplishing your goals with what you want to do? Because this is an 80-foot-high building. Doesn't exist in East Bay Township. And those trees are on that corner. If you get a chance to look at it on a street view, you're going to look right down the fence line of State Park. And in this position where this is at, those trees are right up to here. You will not see this building or above it, really. It will not crest the tree line. That's another one of our goals, is that buildings shouldn't crest tree lines and these kind of things. So it's not going to change your vista. The other thing is from the Hampton. You know what? They're loving this site plan right now because I'm not blocking their view either. And all their rooms are lined up like this. So there's a lot of goals with our neighbors here that do meet the character of working with those people.
Yeah, I think if you could do that, that would probably be helpful for us to see, because that is one of the issues, is trying to vision, okay, what is this going to look like here, and what is it, so I think that would be helpful, and if you could obviously provide that to Rick before the meeting for him to look at as well, I think that would be helpful. I think the other thing I'd be interested to know if this is adjourned to next meeting is, you know, what are the setbacks, so it gives me an idea for the hotels on the other side of the road. Gee, those are 250 or those are 300 feet. Okay, now I got an idea of what that means, the way it looks like. I also would take Rick's comments about if the Hampton, at some point, that hotel moved back and we end up with a parking lot on that corner. I would absolutely hate that for that to happen because I think that look would be atrocious. So that would definitely be a concern of mine, and whether or not we can do anything about that without making the change or not, I don't know.
The site where AAA is sitting is for sale right now.
Somebody can.
The whole corner is.
Right, that whole corner is for sale.
Yeah, that would be devastating to me, but anyway.
You know, looking at this, if we were just looking at this site plan in isolation, I can see some of these discussions and these arguments, but, you know, the site plan prior to this really is going to have a massive impact on that corridor. Those two six-story hotels are going very close to an area right now. It's all mature trees. It's really the corridor is in my mind is leaning more towards a developed corridor than a more natural corridor. I mean, that's kind of where it's headed to some extent, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I just think that this is a situation where it's going to be hard to kind of really look at this full corridor and not really get the full understanding unless we see look at some of those other places and get a sense of what it really looks like and is going to look like, because it is going to change quite a bit.
Except for the State Park and the State Park Beach.
Right.
Correct.
Right. Doug,
we're back to a discussion here.
I think these improvements are good. I think ultimately they can provide a lot to the corridor. One of the things that the beach district discussions that a lot of the business people were having is they didn't want this to be a pass-through place but a go-to place. And part of that is creating places like this that have certain amenities and so forth. So you can, you know, I'm thinking of the rooftop bar and so forth is, you know, something that's going to be unique to this part of town. you know, there's other hotels that have those, and they have certain experience, and that's something that can be replicated here to some extent. It's going to be a little bit different because it does have a much more natural feel to it. But I think it's important to kind of look at this corridor. There isn't really a standard to this corridor. I understand that conversation about that there are different buildings and different setbacks and so forth, but collectively it does have a pretty good feel to it, I think. And I think you really, you'd almost have to get out of your car. I know this is not a good time to do it, but when you've actually walked the corridor and you see it, it does have, there's a certain aesthetic to it. There's a lot of greenery on this. Even though it's built, there's a lot of greenery. And I think these areas where we do have a lot of asphalt and openness, it does change that look and feel. I mean, so if, you know, if there can be that consideration of how to really to incorporate the design so it is kind of taking into that context of the greenery that is along the corridor and having it kind of more of a natural feel. So as well as being a very built place. So it's got an unusual mix. Mm-hmm. It's actually a very, when you get out and walk it, you realize there's some problem properties. This will be nice to have it cleaned up, but there's actually some really attractive properties along this corridor that really make it, you know, and I can see why people like to come here and stay.
Mm-hmm. Motion to...
If you, at this point in time, unless anybody else has any further discussion or comments about where we're at, anybody can make a motion about anything at this point in time.
Motion to postpone to the next meeting for consideration get the attorney's opinion, and hopefully he'll get his fire department thing figured out.
And get us some...
And give us a chance.
Some renderings, however you refer to that.
Yep.
I'll second that.
Okay. So it's been moved by Commissioner Henschel with support by Commissioner Nimitz to postpone further consideration of the site plan review, and it's on my other page here, 4-18, pending opinion from legal counsel, pending resolution of the fire department ingress egress issue, and pending receipt of some renderings of how this proposed building would look at various setbacks from the street, and how it would change the character or appearance of the surrounding area. I think that's the basis for the motion. Any further discussion on that? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, so we'll take it up next week. In the meantime, you can kind of get us that stuff, and you can talk to Mr. Windling.
So it's pretty early. In that. I thank you all for being here on this site.
Yeah. It's dark outside. We have no idea how it's. No, you know. For I know it's all melted.
It's not.
It's like a ruler out there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is proposed zoning amendment 1-18. This would be with respect to section 831. This is a time set for public hearing and recommendation to the township board. The proposed amendment would allow, as I'm understanding, would allow for notice to be given to owners, renters, or occupants of multiple family structures by mailing the notice to the owner or manager with a request to be posted at the primary entrance of the structure. If I'm understanding, that sums up the... And the one question I had was, and there are, I think, instances where there may be some timeshares, and so there may be 1/8 timeshare, so there may be 8 separate owners, et cetera. That those individuals are not going to be here when it's posted because it may not be their weeks. Can there be a requirement that the manager, owner, et cetera, then mail them out to the owners? Can we require that they do the mailing?
That's not in the state act. And that's, I don't know how we can require them to put it in the mail and monitor that they actually did it. I mean, we have to keep track of everything we put in the mail and or publish and stuff like that and have proof that it was actually done. I don't know how you would track.
So if we say, so in other words, we set up something that had to be mandatory and there's no way that we would know that in fact it was done, and then why have it if it was mandatory? But
correct.
I guess that makes sense to me. But that was the one question I had on there. Was there anything else you wanted to add about this, or did I?
No, I mean, it's something that we thought should need to be addressed at some point, but these projects tonight kind of accelerated it when we were looking at 1,200 notices at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie was able to get them pared down to a more reasonable number because of individuals owning multiple units and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But still, it was an eye-opener, and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There's a great deal of cost and burden.
Okay. Any questions or discussion about this proposal?
Do we need one motion for each one?
Well, you know what? I think I need to open up for public hearing first before I do that. Why don't I do that? Is there anyone, person from the public interested in making comment with respect to this proposed zoning amendment 1-18?
Or 2.
Seeing none, then I'll close the public comment and I'll bring it back. Thank you.
We're just doing 1-18 right now.
We're doing them separately. Okay.
I will say that I have a friend who is a 1/8 timeshare owner at the Tamarack, and she called me up to see what was going on. There is interest by those owners that might not have any. So I'm kind of hesitant. I totally understand why. And on the flip side, there are owners that pay attention to what's going on in the township and want to know what's going on. So I don't know how we can necessarily make it better, but...
Yeah, I guess in part, and I understand what you're saying, to me, in a way, this is probably a public policy decision, I think, for the township board. I think it makes sense, and I think we could recommend it to the township board, but I think ultimately it's the township board's decision as to, from a public policy standpoint, do you notify everybody that's got a 1/8 interest and mail all those out, or we don't as a township? And so I think it's more of a township board issue than a sort of a land use zoning issue, because it's dealing with notice, but it's part of the zoning ordinance, so I can see why it comes here first. But my thought would be to make the recommendation and then let them make a decision as to what they
wish to do.
Is that a motion? I could do that way, but is there any other discussion at this point? Okay, so I will move that we recommend to the Township Board adoption of Zoning Amendment 1-18.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Okay. Been moved by Commissioner Tubbs and supported by Commissioner Henschel to recommend to the Township Board adoption of Zoning Amendment 1-18, which would amend Section 831 regarding public hearing notices. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Recommended to the Township Board. Okay. Next item on the agenda is Zoning Amendment 2-18 regarding Section 702 and off-street parking. This is time for a public hearing and recommendation to the Township Board. The proposed amendment with respect to, I think, hotels, motels, and tourist houses would amend the ordinance with respect to the mandatory number of parking spaces. Currently, the zoning ordinance mandates that there be one space for each room that can be occupied, plus one space for each employee of the owner of the premises, the hotel, tourist home, motel. That doesn't take into account the fact that each employee is not there at the same time. The amended zoning ordinance would require, as I understand it, that there be one space for each room plus one space for each employee during the largest shift of the business, whatever shift that might
plus
be.
Plus if there's a restaurant for restaurant employees, too.
Right, plus restaurants.
Okay.
Yeah. And basically right now the only uses that are required to have this based on shift are industrial uses, which obviously are much larger, and schools, and we can't control
school
review. So hotels are kind of there all by themselves. They're the only land use in the whole zoning ordinance besides industrial uses that are required to base this on total employees, where the others are based on, you know, mm-hmm. even industrial is based on the largest shift.
What about a shift change when they're both there at the same time?
Well, you're going to have that just like you have with a shift change at a daycare when people are shift when people are picking up and dropping off at daycare. It's, you know, it's going to be a short period of time. And typically that doesn't necessarily occur when the hotel is full at night. It's occurring at different parts of the day when people haven't checked in or they're out doing things all day and then they come in the evening.
Yep. And the big thing is we're trying to cut down on all the asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we can do to help that.
Do it.
So now you got to open it up for public.
Any other questions, comments, though? Because I think that was a valid one. But any other questions or comments? Okay. Somebody want to take a stab at this one?
No, you got to open it up for public.
Oh, thank you very much for that. Jeez. At this point in time, I'll open it up for a public hearing. If anyone would like to make a comment on this proposed zoning amendment 2-18 with respect to off-street parking. Good. And seeing no one wishing to speak, then I'll close the public hearing at this point in time. Thank you for that, Ted. Usually that's Mindy's job, too, but that's when she's sitting next to me.
This changing around. We got to get people,
Anyway, so I'll at this point, any further discussion, otherwise I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to recommend adoption of zoning amendment number 2-18 to the Township Board.
Second. It's been moved by Commissioner. Any further discussion? Been moved by Commissioner Syke with support by Commissioner Walters that we recommend approval to the Township Board of Zoning Amendment 2-18, Section 702 regarding off-street parking. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Board will be seeing them next week.
Okay. And at this point, I'll open up for public comment on anything that anyone would like to speak about that was on tonight's agenda. Seeing none, I'll close public comment at this point in time, and we are adjourned. Thank you.